And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
When does intern Will get like Will last name instead of intern Will? Is there a certain break-in period?
There's got to be some work that's put in to get to that point.
You got
to
earn it.
It's
all right. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't want that.
It's earning it every day. He may not want it. I don't know.
He said he's got to earn it.
Okay. All right.
He's putting in the reps.
So Michelle,
it's like the kicking competition. Just the reps every day, trying to get better. Consistency.
That's right. So Michelle, you decide. Okay.
Whoa, that's a lot of pressure.
Well, hey, I mean, you're in the studio, you're running the show.
He's doing great.
All right.
He is doing great. Just a little bit more time.
Yeah. All right. Intern Will. It's a cool name.
I was about to say, I'd probably rather go by that. I was a former intern here.
Radio host Rob. Yeah. I mean, actually, wouldn't you prefer to be called that?
Yeah, it's
instead of your name.
It's like, kind of disrespectful that you don't call me radio host Rob.
Did you see Ron?
Judging on everything else around there.
Exactly. Did you see Ron Rivera?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you mean coach guys?
You mean coach guys? That's great.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Ron.
Ron Rivera seems like a pretty cool guy.
He does. A cool guy.
Unfortunately,
frustrated with his football team.
Washington football team. Unfortunately, he's in there. He's there.
He's got Fitz magic, though.
Well, there is that. Wish him nothing but success this year.
Harvard, anybody who has got a Harvard player, as the Titans do, makes things a little bit better.
That's right. Got a busy show for you here today. We'll be joined at 8 o'clock by Shane Bowen, Titans defensive coordinator. So looking forward to that coming up at 8 o'clock here on the show. What was the day like yesterday at Tennessee Titans training camp? Day two of the officials out there for the Titans. Joe Rexroad has his notepad in hand out there taking copious notes. What stood out yesterday on the field for Titans in training camp?
Let's see. Yeah, so I'll just go through some of the plays that stood out to me. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Actually did have a big time. It was a fade. Jackrabbit Jenkins had him covered about as well as you could cover someone, and Nick NWI came away with the catch. He actually had a really good day. He stood out a little bit yesterday. Probably the best throw of camp was yesterday, and it was Tannehill to Firkser. Hooker in man coverage. Byard, the free safety, man-free defense, and he had a tight little window to drop it between those two safeties. Got it there. Great throw. Tannehill had a weird day in that period, which was on like field one. He was absolutely carving them up, and then on the other field, all of a sudden he just started sailing everything. He sailed like 3-4 straight passes, and at the end of that period, he tried to find A.J. Brown on a post, and Byard elevated him, just clean pick.
Yeah.
Great play by Byard, but also, just not a great pass by Tannehill. Marcus Johnson, again, two straight just big-time plays. Again, one of them, Fulton's coverage was about as good as you can have it. Let's see. Chester Rogers, again, making plays. I mean, it's the same guys, making plays. I mean, I think Westbrook-Ikhina is starting to also, show out a little bit. But Marcus Johnson continues to be the best receiver in camp. I mean, other than A.J. Brown early, but he's getting a ton of reps now.
Was on the field again yesterday, A.J. Brown.
He was. And he made some plays, too. There was a bomb to A.J. Brown that was like, okay, there you go. But from Tannehill. Actually, Mason Kinsey's another guy who, he's a camp guy, and it's not realistic for him to make this team, in my opinion. But he does. He's one of the, he's a credit to the camp, he's out there every day making plays. He actually beat Caleb Farley pretty soundly on a particular play. Farley kind of, Farley's trying to work his way up to that first group, not there yet. Brady Breeze, who we've kind of been waiting to make a play. This was Woodside at quarterback. Fulton on a blitz. It was a pass to Kinsey. Breeze got the pick six. I forget who tipped it. It was a tipped pass. So Brady Breeze, Brady Breeze
plays,
out there.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
Looking at another NWI a deep out. So he made some plays. Ray Duns, you know, had worked at, you know, working around different spots. He's working inside. He's working outside. So more work outside. So, you know, he's listed inside and all that. I mean, don't just give up on him as being a tackle. Roberson got him pretty good on a particular play. He had some good reps, though, too. So, I mean, it's not like it's all bad for Raiders. It's like you just notice, obviously, when a tackle gets beat on an island by a pass rusher. And if it's, you know, if it's a Derek Roberson or something like that, it's not like you're getting beat by Bud Dupree, you know?
That is correct.
So those
are
the.
I can confirm that visually.
There's another pick. This is a Woodside again. You know, another one where it's a PBU. And then the other Farley. Matias Farley. The pick, and
you brought his name up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that look, Crookshank's problem, you know, is availability. He has been out there lately, but Farley is. I think he's got a shot here. You know, Farley Breeze, is it one of the two? Might be Farley.
Hey, give me some Brady Breeze or Matias Farley. I'm cool with it.
I mean, that's an interesting situation at safety because they can take some corners and potentially move them back if they need it, so they could keep fewer safeties.
Yep.
Obviously, Chris Jackson came here kind of sold as a corner and safety. He really hasn't worked much at safety, but potentially him. And then the same thing has been said about Molden.
Yep.
I mean, they're keeping him in, you know, keeping him in the slot right now, but it's possible. If you feel like a guy could handle it, that you could do that and then make up a position elsewhere. Like, I don't know, receiver. And then you can keep nine receivers.
Yeah, just keep them all. Why not? Speaking of receiver, A.J. Brown, I guess, had a sleeve on yesterday. Was there much talk about that at Titans training camp yesterday?
Well, Jared asked about it, and that's a fair question. Basically, are you concerned about the knee? He asked Todd Downing because A.J. Brown, we know, had knee surgery. We know had issues going back to last camp, and we know that early in this camp he had nothing on. So the fact that he has a sleeve, does that mean something? I'll say this, you know, we're also watching him run around yesterday. I don't think there's any health concerns right now. So I'm assuming it's just, okay, what, maybe wear the sleeve, just be a precaution. They're not going to have him practice right now if they're concerned about his knee.
Right.
So while I get the question from Jared because it's a change and he just had missed some time, I mean, to me, the answer is kind of in, one, the fact that he's out there doing everything, and two, how he's running.
Well, and if there was the slightest question about A.J. Brown right now, he would not be on the field. I mean, there's zero point in having him on the field.
Exactly. Yeah. So no.
I'm going to say he's okay.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say he's okay.
Big dunk on that one. But it was good to see Jared out there again. Jared, you know, kind of slacking lately, taking a few days off, but it was good to see him. We had Michelle out there. We had Caroline out there.
First day at training camp.
Represent.
Yeah, what'd you think of the whole thing?
It was awesome. I mean, considering last year when I covered training camp in Indianapolis, it was all Zoom. So it was really nice, just even though it's not full availability like training camp used to be, it was nice just to be out there and in-person press conferences and player interviews and all of that.
Nice and cool for you yesterday?
Oh, it was
hot. No hot weather?
It was really hot.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, again today and again tomorrow. I guess tomorrow it's a travel day, but today they're doing the afternoon practice.
I just want to give you credit. Like, you're going like Sans hat out there, aren't you? It's just, do you have a hat on when you're out there?
I got a bucket hat.
Oh, okay,
man.
Do you?
I didn't know.
Joe was rocking the bucket hat.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture today.
Should.
I look pretty good in it.
What has fascinated me is like J-Rob and Vrabel. Like, Vrabel's always got like this jacket on out there, which I get why. I guess you're covering up your skin from the sun.
Yeah.
But to me, like, I just think about wearing a jacket in 100-degree weather. I think I might die.
Well, I think, and I don't know, J-Rob may be. I mean, J-Rob's wearing some sweatshirts sometimes out there. Now, sometimes it's like short sleeves with a little sweatshirt vest kind of thing.
Still pretty thick
attire. But still, yeah. But like, hey, like I was saying, sitting at the press conference, I'm like, this is, to me, is like it's like a free sauna, you know? Drop a couple pounds out here, just walking around. Don't have to actually do anything. I mean, I'll take it. So,
good. I mean, it's a great weight loss program.
Man.
I need to get out there and just stand out in the sun for a while. I could use used to lose a few LBs out there.
I mean, it will work.
Yeah.
If you're out there long enough. Yeah, I mean, like my kids' practices. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Brennan actually still had to have football practice. The heat index wasn't quite there, but
just like slightly.
Middle school tennis practice got canceled yesterday.
Yeah, it's going to be another scorcher out there today again. So
another thing that happened yesterday, Nolensville Little League to the College World Series. That's by the way,
well, not the College World Series.
Oh my
god,
but
the Little League World Series.
I keep saying that at home too. Yes, the Little League World
they
Series.
They actually made the College World Series.
Well, if Nolensville made the College World Series. That'd be all they'd be talking about today.
Well, they do look like Vanderbilt. They got the Vanderbilt kind of uniforms. And Scott Brown, Vanderbilt pitching coach, his son, one of the kids who a key player for that team. Shout out to the Newman family, too.
Yeah.
Ryan Newman was a kid on that team. And so Nolensville.
Represent.
The whole world is soon to know.
That's your neck of the woods, man.
That's right, baby.
You got to get you a hat. Get him to send in a hat here to the show. We can represent on the show, on the live stream together.
All right.
I'll look, YouTube, Twitch,
I'll look
and Periscope
that.
As well.
I think they play, I think it starts the 19th. I think that's right.
We're
in
becoming kind
PA.
Of a Little League World Series factory around here. Lots
yeah, it wasn't
of very
that long
good,
ago. Hendersonville.
It was Goodlettsville.
Oh, sorry. Yep. It was Goodlettsville yep. in 16, I think, right?
Well, there was one before that. They may have gotten back there in 16. I can't remember, but. There's a lot of really good youth baseball around here.
Yeah. No, not. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, last month when I did the Dixie Youth Baseball State Championship in Greenbrier, Tennessee, these kids can play, man. Like, it's unbelievable how good they are at 9 and 10 years old. It's pretty epic.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember being quite that good at 9 and 10 years old.
It's very good. Like, none of my kids, they all did the T-ball thing and then got out of baseball pretty quickly, sadly for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was – kind of familiar with what the baseball was in Michigan. We came down here, and I was very impressed. My nephews play baseball here, too, so I got to see a lot of their travel. I mean, it's outstanding. I think it's a good soccer state, good baseball state.
A growing high school football state?
Yes.
Not quite where it needs to be yet, high school football, but it's a lot better than it was 15 years ago.
I said a phone conversation with a prominent high school football coach last night talking about that. You know, basically, like, if you like the resources here have been a huge difference in the last few years, like, in terms of you got more coaches now who it's their job.
Right.
Right. And that's a big deal. If you can actually, you're a full time faculty member and you're a coach and that's your, you know, you're going to get better coaching, better style, that stuff, more resources for the schools. But, like, if you compare Tennessee to Georgia in that way, for example, it's
still got
still
to do.
A long way. Yeah.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on Titans training camp, including a guy that continues to turn heads on a daily basis. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, here with us on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm just going to say intern Will every time now. Even if he's not here, intern Will is always here with us.
I-dub.
I-dub. There you go. I like that. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, Nolensville plays for the South Regional Championship today. Coach Chris McCary has taken two other teams to the Little League World Series from South Nashville. It's a dynasty.
But they also are in the College World. Oh, my gosh.
The Little League
World Series.
Yeah, they have punched their ticket.
Yeah, they're in. Both these teams are in.
Yes.
So, awesome. Little League.
I'm going to start keeping
World Series.
A tally of how many times you call it the College
World
Series.
I mean, seriously, like at home, I did it last night like four times, so... Hopefully, I'm just about getting it out of my system.
That's right.
We said, you know, you said those three words so often about
that's all
6 weeks
ago, right?
That's all
we talked
about
for a month, yeah.
Yeah, so cut me some slack.
Oh, I'm cutting you some slack, buddy.
It's needed.
It's all good. Talking Titans training camp, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, one name that I've not heard with anywhere near as much regularity the last week or so, has really been Racy McMath, who was the story of training camp the first few days. Everybody was talking about Racy McMath. A.J. Brown came out there and said that Racy McMath, with the way he plays the game, sometimes reminds him of Julio Jones, which, of course, generated a lot of attention, a lot of buzz in the media room when those comments were made. Not a whole lot about Racy McMath the last few days at training camp. What have you seen from the new number 81 from the Titans out there?
Actually, he had a couple nice plays yesterday. I mean, he still looks impressive in terms of, you know, he's still just as big and fast, you know.
That's good.
But yeah, I mean, he hasn't made the same plays he was making early. It's a little bit, you know, calmed down, I guess, in that way. And again, there are other guys who are kind of stepping in and just consistently impressing at receiver, with A.J. Brown out there a little bit, Julio Jones not out there at all after a brief little appearance, and Josh Reynolds just now kind of getting back into things. So other guys have stepped up. But, yeah, I mean, Racy McMath, I mean, I think this is Friday. Listen, if you love watching punts, you know, those reps are, like, really important. You're playing against another team.
I mean, I do love watching Brett Kern punt the ball.
Well, that's there you go.
Yeah.
But even, like, the coverage of a punt, I mean, that's going to tell a lot of the story here. I mean, who are the gunners? You want really good gunners, and who's going to be in the kicking game, you know, a standout? I think that's McMath is that way. But he's also – I mean, he's interesting. You know, when you think about trying to figure out this room, is there really going to be someone out there who signs up Racy McMath to be on their active roster if he's exposed on waivers? I shouldn't say I know for sure, no. But, boy, I think you might be okay there, because that would be ideal.
Sure.
He's a perfect practice squad candidate. Like, I think there is – I don't know if there's not Julio Jones potential, okay? But there's potential for him to be a productive receiver in the NFL. I really believe that, but it also, you know, he's still young, and there are guys who are just much more polished out on the field right now.
Well, that's the thing. It's, can the Titans develop him? Because physically, the tools that he brings to the table, you've talked about it many times. There's not a whole lot of guys that have that combination of size and speed. So that by itself, I mean, that excites you. If you're a Titans fan or a member of that coaching staff, I think you look at Racy McMath and say, all right, physically, there's something here that we can work with. Doesn't necessarily have to come this year. And that's the luxury of, you know, selecting him where you did in the draft. You can have some time to build him up and to develop him. Whereas when you're drafting somebody in the first or second round, you need them to be productive immediately for you. That's not necessarily the case with Racy McMath.
No. And even if he makes the team, which he may well make the roster, it's a long way from him being on the field with the offense.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that would require some injuries. But there are other guys who, I mean, look, Marcus Johnson, if they played the Cardinals right now, and I'm assuming, okay, Julio's, he's been careful. He's ready. A.J. Brown's fine. Honestly, I think the clear number three receiver is Marcus Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think at this point it's a mirage. You gotta. It's interesting with NFL preseason camp, because at times you're like, okay, I don't want to overreact to that, so I'm gonna hold off. Like, for example, DeShone Kizer, he was pretty good in the spring, and he was bad early in camp, and I didn't buy that it was just gonna end like that for him. Well, it did.
It did.
Sometimes you look at it like, yeah, actually, it's as bad as you think, and bye. I mean, that's how it happens in the NFL. So Racy McMath, I think it was good to sort of be like, just hold off, let's see. Again, he's got a lot of potential, but that's cooled down a little bit. Marcus Johnson, at this point, I'm believing what I'm seeing, because it's every day. And he's a really interesting case. I mean, he's, you know, the Colts the last 3 years didn't play a ton, but, you know, in 18, he gets 6 catches for 102. He's averaging 17 a catch. In 19, he's 17 for 277, 16.3 a catch, a 50-yarder, a couple touchdowns. Last year, 14, 255, 18.2 a catch, a long of 55. Kind of the occasional deep shot guy,
yeah,
basically. He broke in with Philly, bouncing around. Always like a talented guy at Texas, but you look at his his Texas numbers. At Texas, 22 catches, 350, 27 catches, 313 as a junior, 12 catches, 130 as a senior. Nothing, you know, nothing that screams NFL receiver.
Yep.
It seems to be a guy who has figured a lot of things out. And, you know, look, he ran a 4.39 coming into the league, so everybody knew he had blazing speed. That's going to give you a chance. But clearly it's a guy who's worked on his craft, and I'm just watching him out there doing a variety of things to get open, catching everything, making big plays, and it may be an overreaction to think that he's going to like be like a productive member of the team this year and have like a big role, but I think you're very possibly going to see him making some plays this year.
Well, to your point, he's done it every day. That's eventually you've got to pay attention to that. If you're Vrabel, if you're the coaching staff, if you're out there covering it, I mean, every day I look at a bunch of Titans training camp coverage, and all of it is about Marcus Johnson making plays every single day at this point. Now, you know, obviously, to your point, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, they're not out there every day. Derrick Henry's not out there every day doing things in team period. Marcus Johnson is a guy that's out there every day and needs every rep that he can get. But it's very difficult to stack this many days together in a row in training camp and still bring your best to the table on a daily basis. And at some point, I mean, we're 2 weeks into camp now. That's got to count for something if you're Marcus Johnson. Like, I know that preseason games are going to tell a lot of this story as well. And if he comes out and doesn't play well in the preseason games, maybe that changes the story a little bit. But at this point, it's hard to imagine Marcus Johnson not making this team based on the reporting that I've seen and everything that he's done at training camp. It's very difficult, I think, to imagine him not being a part of this roster at this point.
No, I'm almost to the point where I'd say I'd be shocked if he didn't make the team. Now, but again, I'm moving on to what's he going to be to this team?
Yeah.
You know, Chester Rogers is probably the next guy in terms of consistently, day after day, showing up out there. Another veteran, another guy who's been with the Colts, another guy who, you know, has been around the league and knows how to play. And the thing with Chester Rogers, of course, is that right now he's listed as the number one punt returner. I'm taking that whole depth chart with, you know, like, you know, do whatever you want with that thing. But, I mean, that matches up with what he's doing in practice. So if that's his role and he's their choice, well, there's another one. There's another two guys who I didn't think were going to make, you know, I didn't have making the team going into camp who are about to, possibly. One, I think, for sure.
Well, and there was some chatter yesterday about, is Josh Reynolds the number three on this team? Is Josh Reynolds, is that spot secure? And we talked about, you know, the Paul Kaharski, A.J. Brown situation and how Josh Reynolds has not looked explosive thus far at camp. You know, we've just penciled in Josh Reynolds as the number three for this team. Is that spot in danger in your mind for Josh Reynolds at this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, right now he's got to get healthy and get out there and make plays. And even if he gets healthy, it's going to be interesting. I mean, is he a more effective player than Marcus Johnson? I don't know. He's got to be really good to be more effective than him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I think
the other part. I mean,
I'd put anything in, you know, in the air as a possibility.
Well, it's not like they're paying Josh Reynolds a ton of money either. Like, it's one thing if you've invested a lot of capital to bring a guy in and be your number three receiver. I mean, he's getting paid $1 million. It's not like they're paying him a ton of money out there.
Right. It's kind of like a prove it deal for him in a year. You know, where the cap's doing what it's doing, and you know, you hope you. I mean, again, when he signed, he was the number two receiver.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, basically. So you're right. So it's not, I mean, anything could be on the table here, including him being cut. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't expect it right now. I wouldn't predict that. But availability, big deal in this league. And Mike Vrabel makes no bones about it.
Yeah.
He talks about it like, hey, it's got to be better. Got to be out there. And not that there's insensitivity to injury, but I mean, that's a big part of whether you can make it in this league or not, or sustain yourself in this league, is being able to go out there. And every single day Marcus Johnson's out there, every single day he looks like a professional receiver who could help this team.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including when do you reach a point of concern with what could be the Titans' most important player this year? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Sunday as Nashville SC takes on DC United at Nissan Stadium. Pregame starts at 5:45 and the match begins at 6 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of Nashville SC, we'll have Don Garber, MLS commissioner, joining us at 9:40 today here on the show, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Some exciting times to be a Nashville SC fan. Ian Ayer, CEO, put out there yesterday season tickets for the new stadium going very, very well to this point for Nashville SC, and those are going to be on sale to the general public as well starting now. So it's been a pretty good run of success here, both on the pitch and off the pitch for Nashville SC as of late.
Yep, and the new stadium is going to be awesome. Ian Ayer got extended too, by the way, through 2026, so huge deal when they landed him, when John Ingram landed him in 2018. And it's already great atmospheres at Nissan, but when they have that place, it's going to be pretty cool.
Yep.
And everything about it too, you know, the area around it. I mean, it's just another part of Nashville that's going to, you know, benefit from soccer.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up later in the show with Don Garber, MLS commissioner, right around 9:40 when he's scheduled to join us. So looking forward to that conversation coming up later today here on the show. Right now talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And Joe, one of the things that we've talked about so far through Titans camp, maybe Ryan Tannehill being a little bit more loose with the ball in terms of taking chances, throwing some interceptions, and that has continued to be the case over the course of the last few days as well. You brought up earlier in the show, Kevin Byard, a nice clean pick of Ryan Tannehill in a drill yesterday at Titans training camp. And Todd Downing, new offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, was asked about the interceptions so far in camp, and at what point do these interceptions that Ryan Tannehill and the quarterbacks are throwing start to become a concern? Here's what Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing had to say yesterday at his press conference.
You've mentioned care of the football, interceptions notable again today. At what point do they cross the line of teachable moments, getting used to new guys around you, and become cause for concern in the preseason?
Yeah, they've come in different situations, you know, and some of them are flat out unacceptable. You know, we got to take care of the ball down in the red zone. When we're down there, we can't try to force it into tight windows when the throw isn't there. And then some of them were working 2-minute drills at the end of the game, and you know, we're down on the clock and we got to give somebody an opportunity to go make a play. But they're on a case-by-case basis. And I think that as long as the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, and the quarterbacks are all in lockstep on what's acceptable and what's not in terms of putting the ball in harm's way, we'll be okay by the end of it. You know, Ryan's a guy that certainly is a history of taking care of the football, and Logan and Matt are the same way. So I'm not concerned about it as long as it doesn't become a repeated issue.
So that was Todd Downing yesterday at Titans training camp discussing the interceptions, saying they've come in different ways. Some of them are flat-out unacceptable. Some of them teachable moments, as Layman brought up in the question there. At what point, though, Joe, if you're Todd Downing or if you're Mike Vrabel and you're watching what's happening so far in training camp, do you start to become concerned about the interceptions? Have you arrived at that point yet? Is that something with Ryan Tannehill that he's built up enough trust at this point when the games actually happen that you're not that concerned about it until you start to see it in a game?
First of all, by the way, Matt Barkley has twice as many picks as TD, so he actually, that's not his history. That's only, it's 11-22. He hasn't played a ton, but right. I think this is another one of those, you got to, you know, believe what you see at a certain point, and you have to be able to kind of look at it like, okay, what is sort of experimenting, not messing around, but you know, trying to push the envelope a little bit, maybe just to see, you know, if guys can make some plays in some situations, maybe even at times to, you know, to see if the defensive guys can make plays. And I think, and Tannehill talked about that last week. So I buy that. I do think that some of he's made some bad plays. Again, I talked about yesterday. He had just had a period where all of a sudden he just sailed like he had AJ Brown like wide open twice on like out patterns. And just it just was like 5 yards over
just
his
missed
head.
It. Yeah.
But at the same time, you also go. I think back to when, of course, the Titans are going to play Brady and company next week. So when the Patriots came in here. I remember, one, when Brady was, like, throwing against the Titans defense, it was almost comical.
Yeah.
It was just like, just touchdown, 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 you know. And then Mariota was not good. But I remember that day that, like, Tannehill was so bad. And I remember that day, like, there is no way he's even going to touch. Like, he's not even challenge Mariota this year. Look at this guy. And we know what happened. So, you just have to, I mean, if you took every single throw and rep through camp, Tannehill still looks good. He just says he has definitely pushed it and he's been victimized more than he'd like. It's not like when the guy's picking him off, he's like, all right, good job, D. I mean, he's mad. So, I mean, he's kind of working through some trial and error too. And is that in some cases not having chemistry with some guys that he hasn't played with a ton? Is that in some cases, you know, new plays and new routes? I mean, it's, you know, what if the defense just throwing curveballs? I think some of it is credit to the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, they're playing aggressively. And they look good. I mean, even yesterday, Tannehill made some great throws, and there were some big-time catches I mentioned earlier, Westbrook-Akina. Firkser had – I mean, that was a great pass. Those plays, really well covered. So you got to look at that too. The defense is playing very aggressively, and it's paying off. Bottom line is, I wouldn't be concerned about Tannehill, but – I think the coaches at some point, you know, like, you know, it's one of those things they believe, you know, you play how you practice. So they'd probably like to see some clean days where he's just carving up the defense consistently. I thought yesterday was going to be that after the period where he had the pass to Firkser, Westbrook Keening, and a few others, Marcus Johnson. But then that last period, the defense just came back and flat out won.
Well, I mean, it'd also be probably beneficial for Ryan Tannehill to have Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones out there a lot.
It might help.
Might help a little bit.
Well, some of this might be okay.
Some of this is what training camp's for, right?
Yes.
To work through issues like this. I've seen enough of Ryan Tannehill in games at this point for me to not be overly concerned. I get it, and we've talked about this. Sometimes the fascination with what goes on in training camp practice to me is something that I've just got to get used to in the NFL because it's way different than any other sport.
Right.
I mean, there's so much attention paid to practice plays that it's just at times mind-boggling to me. But I get it. It's the only thing we've got to go off of right now as to how they look.
They can't practice their sport like other sports can.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, hockey's a little bit like that too. You don't want like full checking and all that stuff a ton when you're in preseason, but I mean, every other sport, there's a lot more repetition and stuff. Yeah. In football, it's like, especially now, you have these tiny little – I mean, how much is this offense going to practice together before they get to the opener? I bet you not a ton.
Not a lot, yeah.
I mean, I think – I'm sure Todd Downing would love a couple weeks with everybody together. But, again, is that even going to be Derrick Henry? Yeah, I don't know. So that's the thing. I mean, these – you're right. It's just the NFL and the attention and the fact that everything they do just gets more attention than what other leagues do the same thing, right? Yep. But it is also like there's just a premium on these reps.
Yeah, for sure. And look, you know, I'm not saying that there's zero concern on Ryan Tannehill. Like, he's got to take care of the ball. And that's one thing he's been very good at since he became quarterback of the Titans. I mean, there's a couple of picks you can point to here or there for Tannehill where you're just like, ooh, I don't know about that throw. By and large, he's been pretty great in his decision-making with the Titans. So I'm not overly concerned about it. I do wonder if the point you brought up about chemistry or lack thereof with some of these receivers, maybe that's what you're seeing him trying to work through at the moment.
Well, and also just remember, too, that right now, I mean, they're calling plays. You know, they're going against – a defense that knows what they're doing.
Yep.
I mean, they know each other. So there's a lot of familiarity, which, I mean, that could work either way. But on a Sunday, It's a specific game plan. There's specific matchups you're right. trying to get yourself to. There's certain players on the other side you're trying to victimize, you know, and you've got all your guys, which, you know, or you should. And if you do, then that offense is just going to look totally different.
But, Joe, the other part of this is the defense making plays that are available to them out there in training camp thus far as well. So how much credit do we give the defense at this point during the training camp, and what do we think is more likely? Could there be a defensive resurgence here in Nashville this year with this Titans football team, or could we be seeing Ryan Tannehill fall off a little bit? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, make sure you're tuning in later in the show for your opportunity to join our Fantasy Football League. We're putting together a Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Starting today, we'll throw out some trivia questions. If you correctly guess the answer on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, you will be eligible to join our Fantasy Football League. So if you don't get selected today, don't freak out. We'll have, I believe, 7 more opportunities after today. So
8 open spots.
8 open spots. We'll have 7 more opportunities after today, but somebody will be selected today. So looking forward to that. Make sure you stay tuned in. We've got a good trivia question coming up for you later today as well.
And they're all going to be show-related.
That is correct.
Trivia. So
show-related trivia.
We might, you know, like what is intern Will's last name? Could be one.
Could be. Absolutely.
That would be an obscure one. That'd be a tough one.
That would be a tough one. Never know what's going to come out in the trivia questions. Make sure you stay tuned a little bit later today for our trivia question for fantasy football. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on the text line, 615-737-1025. We've just discussed Ryan Tannehill and the interceptions at training camp. So I guess the reaction that I've seen from Titans fans to that is kind of twofold, Joe. One, I have seen some concern about Ryan Tannehill, but not a ton. I mean, I think a lot of people are comfortable with Ryan Tannehill. They know how good he's been the last couple of years. I think more people have gotten excited about the defense and their ability to make plays so far in training camp. Obviously, it was a disaster last year. Very few plays were made by the defense. So to see them creating turnovers, playing much better so far in training camp, I think has gotten people excited. So I guess the question now is, what's the more likely scenario of what we've seen so far during training camp transpiring on the field? Is it more likely that the defense bounces back, and not just a little bounce back improvement from last year, which we've talked about many times is not very hard to do? Could we see a significant rebound from this Titans defense? Is that more likely, or could we see Ryan Tannehill start to fall off a little bit from the level he's been the last couple of years, which is admittedly been one of the top levels of quarterback play in the entire league?
Well, it's a time for optimism. So, you know, when things happen, fans want to believe, you know, if one side of a team victimizes the other side of the same team, then fans want to think in terms of, okay, the side that succeeded is just good or better. But, you know, if you're a cynic, you know, you look at it the other way. And, oh, so what's wrong with, what's wrong with Tannehill? What's wrong with the offense? I mean, I think it's not likely that either thing happened. I don't think it's likely that Tannehill has a significant fall off this year. I don't think it's likely that the defense has a massive, you know, rebound to whatever that would be. What would be, you know, top 10, top half of the league? I mean, I think that's asking a lot. But if you ask, like, which of those two is more likely, I would shade toward the defense. And the defense, look, I mean, Tannehill, it's 30-plus games. I mean, at this point,
it's a pretty large sample size.
And that's fine if you're a Tannehill doubter, Tannehater, you know, and you want to say, hey, you got to play better in the playoffs. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying he's top tier, but I think you pretty much know what you have with him. It's hard for me to imagine he's going to come out this year and all of a sudden start arm punting the ball over the field. You know, the defense could be terrible this year.
Yeah,
I mean, it really could. But at least there's a lot of variables there. And a lot of things that could break the Titans' way that give you hope if you're a Titans fan and if you're in the building. And I do detect more than just coach speak, player speak, yeah, it's going to be better. I mean, I think that there's legit excitement and that they are legit excited in those periods because they are They're hanging in right now and often winning. What does that mean when you play in another team? I'm sure there's millions of examples in the NFL of a training camp defense or offense that looked great and then came out and didn't, you know. But there are reasons to think it could be interesting. I start with one of the guys who talked yesterday, Danico Autry. I just think Danico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons together up front with the interior push, and we're going to have Shane Bone on later, but he was talking about that yesterday. You know, just the if you get that, what that does to help your guys on the edge, pretty significant. And the fact that they're going to have Autry, I think the plan is, you know, Autry will be on the field during passing downs. I think you're going to see, and that's another thing about camp that has been a good development for them, is that Tier Tart, one of the standouts, you might even go after Marcus Johnson. I mean, maybe. He's in that small group of Daly. You notice him, Tier Tart. So you can maybe give Autry, you know, some breaks and have him involved in the sub package. And like Bowen said, they really haven't had like the big long guy like that.
Yeah.
You know, in that since he's been here, you know, rushing. So maybe that helps him. I think Autry Simmons look like a good combo. Tart now as that third guy. You know, and obviously Daquan Jones is a loss, but I mean, I think Tart really brings something. And then, you know, that's all the edge guys still are key. And I don't know, is Harold Landry, because he's not allowed to do his pass rush move that he loves, is that going to help him develop another one? He's been talking about developing another one for a while.
Yeah.
And then Bud Dupree. I mean, it still circles back to the big free agent they pay. He looks fast out there. I mean, you know, talking to him, I mean, he's impressive. I mean, I think he's going to bring an attitude to this defense. And yeah, the way he plays is relentless. But is he going to be a game changer out there? I don't know.
Well, yeah, right.
It's possible.
Can it translate to production on the field? That's going to be the big question with Bud Dupree. Because I said it yesterday. I think Bud Dupree can have impact not only with the pass rush. I think he's a very good run defender. I think he can create pressure that may not necessarily result in sacks. But when you get paid that much money, there's a sack number that needs to be there attached to it. In my mind, when you cross a certain threshold of money you're getting paid, there needs to be a total that goes along with it.
We had no question about it. We had a thing, you know, at the Athletic. You know, we do a lot of sort of like around the whole league. Everybody, you know, writes, you know, one player, you know, from a division rival will be on your team or whatever. So one of them was, you know, like worst move of the off season, and mine was the cornerback situation. You know, you're cutting Adoree Jackson, you're cutting Malcolm Butler, and then you're drafting, you know, first round pick who's had multiple back surgeries. But so I will say right now, I would change that answer now based on what I've seen in camp.
Yeah.
Because Farley's out there and he's got a ways to go. And Byard talked about this. Byard was great yesterday talking about, you know, watch your body language. And Vrabel talked about this too. You make a mistake, that's going to happen a bunch.
Right.
So get up and keep it going. You know, he's going through the rookie stuff, but man, he looks like a guy. Fulton, I think, has built momentum in camp. Jenkins is going to be solid, and, you know, then in the slot's going to be interesting. But, I mean, they look better in that secondary than I anticipated going into camp. So I would change that answer now because I feel like they will be better. They're not going to have like a Jonathan Joseph out there this year just
– We hope.
Just serving as – well, it would take serious injuries.
Yeah.
Just a guy who just can't play anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they've strengthened that.
Well, there was concern
I'm confident in saying that now.
There's concern about that when the signing was made about Jackrabbit Jenkins, right? You know, he's 32 years old. He'll be 33.
He can still run.
Looks like he can still run out there.
Yeah, and who knows, you know, how long that lasts. Sometimes it goes fast. But, yeah, he's not like some lockdown star corner, but he can play. I mean, they're going to be, if these guys are healthy, better. And, again, the depth. is pretty good. I mean, Chris Jackson right now, if they started the season today, Chris Jackson is their starting slot corner.
Yep.
Now, I know fans are like, I don't want to hear that. I want Farley out there. You know, I want Molden out there. And that, you know, may happen at some point. But it's still good to have a veteran like that doing what he's doing. And Borders doing what he's doing. Now you feel like, okay, you can survive an injury or two. It's a better group.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I think Ryan Tannehill is going to have a down year this year. I don't think he wanted to take the pay cut to bring in Julio, and I think he wanted to ride with the guys he already had. Just an assumption on my part.
He didn't take a pay cut. He did not take a pay cut.
That is correct.
They actually, he got more money up front,
yeah,
the way they did it. It's just, they just moved the cap pit around. So so I don't buy that. That's no factor.
I'm sure you wanted Julio.
Yeah. If you're Ryan Tannehill. So more money now, and I'm throwing to Julio. I don't know. I don't know about that. Now, could he have a down year? He could. I mean, he is, the bar is high. So,
oh, yeah.
So Tannehill could play like he did in Miami, which actually had some pretty good years, and that would be a step down.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's also possible that he has a lot of fun this year with the guys he's throwing to.
Ben texting in, Joe's best guess at Farley's second contract. A blind guess with the information you have.
What?
He wants you to predict right now Farley's second contract with the Titans.
Matias? I think he'll get another year next year.
Yes, Matias Farley.
So is this asking like what the number would be?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean,
it's impossible to answer
at
the moment.
I have no idea. Where's the cap going? How's he play? I mean, I assume this
can he
is
still be on the field by then.
Will they pick up his option?
Yeah.
I mean, John Robinson hasn't picked up a lot of options of his first round guys. Caleb Farley, he looks like a guy. We'll see. He's making mistakes right now. Like I said earlier, Mason Kinsey torched him yesterday. But, you know, that's one of those things where, yeah, corners are going to get beat all the time. But he looks like he could be pretty good.
Tim from Lewisburg texting in, does Rex Road know that he owes Adam Vingan a gift card of his choosing since he bailed on Vingan yesterday? Did you know this?
Did this whole Vingan gift card thing, did he get his gift card from Darren?
No.
Ryan gave
Ryan
it Poyne to him.
Gave him one.
I don't even really understand the whole story. What gift card to where?
I don't know what the original gift card was supposed to be for, but he never got it. And Darren apparently one time sent it through the mail. Air quotes, sent it through the mail.
Right,
and
right.
It never arrived at Vingan's house, and then he moved.
Gift cards
it was
in the mail.
Just his whole to-do, yeah.
Okay. I'll get him a gift card, but I'm going to have to think of the proper.
Well, Vingan was.
It's like to the UNC fan store or something,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was upset that you weren't here yesterday. I'll say that.
Yeah. Sorry, Vingan. I listened. Exactly. It was an enjoyable segment.
It was. Vingan, a little upset that you bailed on him, though.
I'm sorry, Adam.
Duty calls.
He's not listening right now.
Probably not. Probably
he's not up yet.
Probably asleep at this point. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans and look at this roster a little bit more in depth. Start making some cuts as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.